Praise God. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm telling you, when I was a sinner, I thought he was trying to kill me. Amen. Old time conviction got on me and I couldn't sleep and didn't want to eat and I was running. Man, I was miserable. I was kind of arrogant and aggravating and edgy. And I mean, I was just miserable, man. I mean, what I found out later, Brother Peach, is the Holy Ghost. He's my friend. He's trying to keep me out of hell. Amen. Glory to God. Man, I tell you what, that Sunday night, June the 4th, 1989, in that little old country church in Sumter, South Carolina, when the Holy Ghost moved in there and conviction, man, it settled in that place like a London fog, man. I mean, it got a hold to me and I couldn't get loose. Glory to God. Amen. The devil said, get out of here, and I'd listen to him many a time. But on that night, I listened to that still small voice that said, won't you walk that aisle, boy? Glory to God. When the Spirit said, come, I got up and went that night. God saved me, praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be saved this morning? Praise God. Good to know Jesus and the fullness and the pardon and forgiveness of sin. Amen. Thank you for coming to God's house this morning. I tell you, it's a beautiful congregation. I've already felt the Spirit of the Lord in the service this morning. And we're just looking for God to do great and mighty things. Not only here today, but if you have an opportunity and there's any way possible, please come and be in revival with us and look for the Lord to do great and mighty things. Look for Him to help us. Amen. I want you to turn with me this morning quickly in the Word of God, 2 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel chapter 9. Very familiar passage of Scripture here. And I don't know. I just feel like the Lord's wanting to speak to someone's heart. You pray that God would anoint me and that His will would be accomplished in this service this morning. Amen. I'm going to try not to be very lengthy. That's hard for a minister to do, especially when he's feeling good. Amen. Feel the anointing. Amen. So we just want God to have His way and let Him do what He wants to do here. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 9. Now please keep your Bibles open. You may stand for the reading of God's Word, but don't close those Bibles because I'm definitely going to be coming back to these Scriptures here. So we do want to read just a small ways into this chapter here this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 9. If you found that place, would you say amen? And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may shew or show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, and the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may shew or show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar. And the king, then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Such a beautiful story here. Beautiful story. If you've been around church very much and you've heard much preaching, I'm sure you've heard the story of Mephibosheth. It's a beautiful story, but there are some sad notes in this song, so to speak. Mephibosheth here was a little crippled boy, and the way that it came about on one day when Saul was king over Israel, and Jonathan, who was his grandfather, and Jonathan, his father, who was next in line to be the king over Israel, they were at battle with the Philistines, and they were up in the Mount of Gilboa, and there the Philistines, they conquered the Israelites. Jonathan died. King Saul, we know, fell on his own sword. And that was an awful day already. I know the brother in Sunday school was talking about a flat tire and when the washing machine runs over, and you know, sometimes when we have a bad hair day, you know, we think things are bad. This boy here was having a bad day. Already in that one day, his granddaddy died on the battlefield. Already in that day, his father, Jonathan, had died on the battlefield. He lost his granddaddy and he lost his dad. And when the news came that the Philistines had defeated the Israelites, that nurse took him and began to flee, because they knew the Philistines were probably coming to loot the village or coming to loot the empire there. And as she ran, Brother Peach, the Bible said she dropped Mephibosheth and she fell on him, and he became crippled for the rest of his life. His granddad died, his father died, and he lost his ability to walk all in one day. Now that's having a bad day. I want to preach to you just a little while this morning on a great invitation. A great invitation to come home. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yeah. Mephibosheth was a lot like every one of us, Jew and Gentile, way long time ago, back in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve dropped us, and we became crippled by sin. But I'm glad that there's one that came from the throne of glory, died on Calvary, and gave us an invitation that we didn't have to stay across the tracks. We didn't have to stay down in Lodabar, but He gave us a great invitation to come to the King's table and dine. And I'm glad that I accepted that invitation. And I'm preaching to you this morning just a little while on the great invitation that Christ has given all of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It was not Mephibosheth's will to be in the condition that he was in. He had no choice in the matter. He was dropped. He was in an awful position. His granddaddy, the man of power, his father, a man of power, great warriors. He lost all of that protection. He lost all of that comfort. He lost all of that certainty and assurance in his life. He's like he's flung out into a world now with no protection, no one to see after him. And he finds his place way down on the other side of the tracks, on the bad side of town. He goes from the palace to the wrong side of town. But I'm glad that there was a king that took the throne. And that king was a friend of his dad's. Hallelujah to God. I said he didn't realize it. Mephibosheth might not have understood that, but his dad had a friend. And his dad's friend is on the throne now. Aren't you glad, hey, that we had a friend in Jesus? Amen. Yeah, I had the privilege of never hearing my dad say a curse word. I never seen my dad hit my mother. Never have I opened the refrigerator and seen a beer in the refrigerator. Never have I seen my dad pull on a Winston. Never seen my dad walking around the house without a shirt on. Always been raised right. You know why that is, Brother Peach? My dad had a friend.
My dad had a friend, and his name was Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a friend we have in Jesus. I'm glad that I was raised to know that there's a King in glory and He's coming back again. Praise God. I want to have a friend. My friend. I want Jesus to be my friend so that my girls and my boy can say, my daddy had a friend. My daddy had a friend. Hallelujah to God. Praise the Lord. Here, King David takes the throne, and once God has somewhat subdued his enemies and there's peace in Israel, at least on a greater scale than what it was, Saul and his family, Saul and his leaders and lords and generals are off the scene somewhat. Now David and his generals, his lords, take the throne, take the kingdom. And when David could have been cumbered about with many things, building a greater empire, building a greater and a stronger army, acquiring more gold, acquiring more silver. Notice what King David says. The king, he says, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? Hallelujah to God. You know, there's always an opportunity for us to do good. There's always an opportunity for us to help somebody. And here the greatest, most powerful king, King David, sitting on the throne, yet he somewhat condescends down to the place where he says, I want to do something. I want to help somebody that needs help. I want to be the shoulder that someone can lean on. I want to help somebody. And I'm glad that David had that heart of God in him. Amen. A man after God's own heart. Now notice that servant that they called Ziba. He said unto him, and Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. Now Ziba qualified that statement. He qualified that person that he had recommended, and he wanted David to know for certain that this boy here of Jonathan, he's crippled. You know, might be someone that you don't want to have around the palace. It might be someone who maybe will bring a little reproach. You know, there's preachers on television that'll tell you, if you're crippled or you're blind, that you are a reproach to the kingdom of God. That's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. Amen? Salvation is not a certificate that says you won't ever have a problem again. You won't ever have a pain again. Salvation is not a certificate that says you won't have disease in your body. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him from them all. Amen. He said through much suffering, you're going to enter the kingdom. Amen. Many of God's saints died by the sword. They died in the fire. They died in the trials. But hey, I'm glad that He gave them a greater resurrection. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And here Mephibosheth, down on the wrong side of the tracks, down a crippled little lad, seemingly in the X-Files, forgotten. But David, on the throne, he doesn't realize it, but there's someone working in his behalf. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. Amen. We're talking about that good shepherd this morning in Sunday school. I'm glad. Oh man, that little sheep might be on the backside of nowhere. Feel like the good shepherd's for God, but I'm glad that God walks the dark hills. Hallelujah. I'm glad that God will walk through your garden again. Hallelujah. When Adam and Eve had failed God miserably, I mean when they had forsaken the commandment of God, when God told them, don't you partake of this fruit here. And yet they did it anyhow. I mean, God could have said, hey, I'm finished with you. I'm through with you. God could have just marked them off. God could have said, hey, I've had it. Oh, but you know what I read, Brother Peach? The Bible said, and God came walking through that garden one more time. Hallelujah. I said He came through the garden one more time. What did He come for? He came to kill a lamb. He came to help Adam and Eve, even though they had messed up and committed sin. Hallelujah. One more time. I tell you what, Sister Judy, I'm glad. When I had forsaken God, I'm glad He walked through my garden one more time. Hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah to God. What a great invitation. Here this morning, the Bible said, and the king said unto him, where is he? Ziba said unto the king, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David. Notice, David sent and fetched him out of that house. I've often wondered and tried to picture this in my mind here. A little boy had lost everything in life. A little boy that was down on luck, as some people say. I don't really believe in luck, but nevertheless, the circumstances of life had certainly taken a turn against him. There came a knock on the door. It was very common in those days that the king that took the throne would annihilate and kill all of those who had a rightful heir to the previous king. It was very common for that. That little boy, that little crippled boy that had lost his ability to play, no longer was his granddad in the palace, no longer did he have a father that he could cry on his shoulder when the little kids picked at him for not being able to run and play. Here he is sheltered. Here he is closed up in that little house. There comes a knock on the door. He peeps out the window and there's them big soldiers, them big swords on their side, and that little boy's heart no doubt begins to flutter. What have I done now? They finally found me. Oh, but if Mephibosheth could have only known his daddy had a friend. Hallelujah to God. He's about to get an invitation that he just can't turn away. I mean, he's about to get an invite to come back to the palace. I'm telling you, honey, you might be drifting a long way from God. You might be down across the tracks, but I'm telling you, there's an invitation from an almighty King in glory saying you can come home. Hallelujah, you can come back to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Knock on that door. Mephibosheth, is he here? No doubt that little boy says, that's me. He says, the king desires to see you. You got to go to the palace. Man, I see that little crippled boy. They help him up in that chariot probably. That little boy's heart's still racing. He don't know what he's done. He don't know what's fixing to happen. He don't understand the circumstances. But there's a king that's waiting on him back at the palace. Kind of like the old prodigal's father waiting on the porch. There's a king waiting on him because he heard that Jonathan had a son. Here he comes. He's coming back to the palace. Now, verse 6, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. David said, Mephibosheth. He answered, behold, thy servant. The first part of verse 7 said, and David said unto him, fear not. David could see fear all over that little boy's face, that young boy's face. Mephibosheth comes back into the palace, whereas the little boy he had played all in that kingdom. He was the king's grandson. He was well familiar with that palace. He was well familiar with the throne in that kingdom. And as a little boy, it belonged to him. He was a rightful heir. But now, he is somewhat of an intruder. Now he is somewhat of an outcast. No doubt as the memories flood his mind when that little crippled boy shuffles back into that palace And he looks at that throne there. He looks at the king's chair. No longer is his granddaddy sitting there. No longer is his dad standing at his right hand. But there's a different king there. And that little boy trembles. That little boy fear all over his face, thinking, oh man, how could things get much worse than they are now? But what he don't realize is that king that's on that throne, him and Jonathan, his dad, oh, they had a blood covenant. Hallelujah to God. Oh yeah, he had a friend. His daddy had, that little boy comes up to David. That little boy comes up before the throne there, and the Bible said he falls on his face and he did reverence unto the king. That little boy kneeling down on that floor, that same little floor that he probably played on as a boy, now he's kneeling down in front of the great king of Israel, David. The Bible said, and he did him reverence. Fell on his face and did reverence. David said, Mephibosheth. A little boy might not have even known that the king knew his name was, but David called him by his name. Hallelujah to God. You might think you've drifted way too far from God, but he knows your name. Hallelujah to God. He knows who you are. Hallelujah to God. If he knows how many grains of sand's on the seashore, if he knows the stars, if he numbers them and calls them by name, if he knows how many hairs is on the head of our head, he knows what your name is. He knows right where you are. He knows right what you have need of. And he's calling this morning, saying, whosoever will, you can come back home. The devil will drive you on the other side of town. He'll drive you down the road. He'll take a lot of things from you, but God can give it back. Hallelujah. God, he can give you back what the devil stole from you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to God. Here he is, kneeling down before the king. And he does reverence to the king. David calls him by his name, Mephibosheth. And he says, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not. David could see fear all over that boy's face. And the first couple of words he said to him, fear not, son. Fear not. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. Hallelujah to God. Jonathan's gone. He's already gone to the grave. But I remember that covenant. I remember he was kind unto me. I remember when he shot that arrow and he said, the arrow is beyond thee. He watched out for me. He took care of me. And now I'm going to take care of his. Hallelujah. Hey, I tell you what, you be faithful to Christ. You be faithful to God. He'll take care of you down through the eternal ages. He'll remember those that are his own. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Praise God. But notice, here's the thing that I really want to just kind of key in on here. I got just a few more minutes before I'm going to be done. He said, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. You don't have to eat them bologna sandwiches down there in Lodi Bar anymore. You don't have to go to bed hungry. I want you to eat at my table like one of my own sons. What the king eats, you can eat. Every time the king eats, you can eat. Hallelujah to God. Now, I know that David said that you will, but I honestly believe that if Mephibosheth had said, "King, I appreciate your hospitality, but no thanks. I really don't want to be here. I really don't want to eat at your table. I would rather just live the way I'm living and stay in Lodabar on the bad side of town." I believe David, being the merciful king and the compassionate king that he was, he would have allowed him to do so. I don't believe this was a mandate from the king. I believe this was just a royal invitation that little boy didn't have to stay where he was any longer. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that God so loved the world that He gave us an invitation with nail scars in His hand and says, "You don't have to stay where you are." Hallelujah to God. But you can come out the hog pen. You can come home to the Father's house. You don't have to stay where you are. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. He gave him an invitation. And I believe when that little lad shuffled out of that palace room that day, that great king looked at one of those lords or one of those generals or one of those, I don't know, butlers, bakers, whatever it might have been around there, and said, "I want you to put one more chair at the table." Because in the evening times, those generals and those lords and those princes and those great, mighty, powerful people in that kingdom of the upper echelon, they would come into that palace hall and there they would eat supper. Glory to God. Hallelujah to God. I believe David spoke to whoever was in charge of that banqueting, who was in charge of that evening supper, and said, "Hey, I want you to put another chair at the table." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because we're going to have a visitor this afternoon. Now, David was well familiar with empty chairs back prior to that when Saul was still king over Israel. The Bible said at the time of the full moon, at the time of the feast, that Saul called all of his lords and generals together in that same palace, in that same banquet hall. And the Bible said, and David's chair was empty. You know why? Because David knew King Saul was trying to kill him. And David's chair was empty. Hey, let me tell you this. There is a time when absence is honorable. Let me tell you, there is a chair in the bar room for you tonight. But hey, glory to God, by the power of the blood of Jesus, we've overcome sin. And that chair can stay empty, praise God. I'm glad that absence is honorable. Hey, the King of Glory has got another chair. You don't have to be there tonight. Praise God. And David's chair was empty. Listen to me, sinner friend. If you're sitting at the seat of Satan, let your chair be empty after this service. You don't have to stay there. God's got a chair in His kingdom. Hallelujah for you. Praise God. Woo! Glory to God. The Bible said David's chair was empty. But this chair, if Mephibosheth leaves this chair empty, be one of the greatest tragedies of his life. The devil does have a chair for every one of us. There's pleasure in sin for a season. I mean, I promise you, the devil has got somewhere that he'll put you to work in his kingdom. And there's a few joys that have come with that too, for a season. Just as sure as you see leaves green on those trees, it'll be changing here in just a little while. You know why? All seasons come to an end. And there's a payday someday. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you'll sit down in God's chair, if you'll come to His banquet table, if you'll surrender to Him, the gift of God is eternal life. I'm glad this morning that the door's still wide open. I'm glad the door of the ark's still open. I'm glad the chair is still available, honey. You can come sit down at the table of God. You don't have to run with the devil no longer. Just got to do like the old prodigal did, standing in that old mud hole of sin. He said, "Devil, I changed my mind. I'm going home to the Father." Man, the devil had pushed that boy in a corner. I mean, he had took away privileges. There was a time when he wore what he wanted to wear. Now he don't wear what he wants to wear anymore. There was a time when he went where he wanted to go. There was a time when he ate what he wanted to eat at the Father's table. Now he's desiring to eat the slop in the hog pen. I mean, the devil, he'll take away choices. He'll get you in a corner. You say, "Man, I want freedom." Man, the devil, he'll have you chained, honey. He'll have you shackled. But I'm glad that the devil, he can't go so far, but what God won't let you turn around. The devil can't ever keep you from turning around. That's what this boy right here is doing. He's been given an invitation. You don't have to stay where you are any longer. You can eat a different food. You can live in a different home. You can live a different life. Glory to God. Glory to God. You don't have to smell cigarette smoke. Glory to God. You can live a different house. Well, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and restore thee all the land of Saul. And thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Vicki, are you to where you can come to the piano, please, baby? No. Brother Kendall. Getting ready to close here. But I can see that evening as all those lords and all those powerful men, all those valiant men, leaders, governors, rulers, princes, they come into that banquet hall. And they all gather around that big table. And that one chair is empty. Now, I don't have a bit of Bible for this, but it's my opinion that David put that empty chair right beside him. I don't know that. Probably when all those lords and generals gathered and it got close to time to eat, they were wondering, "Who's that chair? Who's the special guest going to be in this place tonight?" And then about the time coming down the halls of mercy, coming down the halls of grace, they heard a shuffling. Little crippled boy, dragging his feet. He's coming to the table of the King. Life's dealt him some bad blows. Sin has caused many problems in his life, not directly to him, but his fathers had sinned. And you know what? Sin might be taking some things away from you that you won't ever get back. That little boy died a cripple, Brother Prescott. He never was able to run. But he came to the place where he said, "I might not ever get my ability to run or walk again. But I'm not going to miss this invitation. I might be lost some things, but I ain't going to lose it all. I'm going to take back what I can. I'm coming to the palace." Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. That little boy shuffles his way. His head, that boy covered in shame.
You say he was proud and arrogant. No, you read just a little bit further. Mephibosheth said to David, he said, I am but a dead dog. He viewed himself as a dead dog. Circumstances of life had just crushed that boy. Taking his granddad, taking his dad, taking his ability to walk. He didn't have anything left in life, hardly. The only thing he had was an invitation. He said, I wouldn't miss it for the world. I wouldn't miss it for the world. He come down through them generals and them lords. He said, I got to get to the table of the king. There's an empty chair. That's where I got to go. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. I see that little boy sit down in that chair. Probably wouldn't even lift his head. Wouldn't lift his head. Wouldn't look. But you know what, Brother Prescott? I was the same way. I said, you know, I won't never be as good as these folks here. But when that little crippled boy sat down at that table, and the tablecloth of God's grace fell across those crippled legs, you couldn't tell him from nobody else. You couldn't tell he was a cripple anymore. Brother Prescott, I remember when I came to the altar that Sunday night, man. I mean, waited in the chains of sin. I didn't know how to pray. The only thing I did know was after I told God all I could tell Him, and I told Him I'm sorry, when I come up off of that altar, I'm just as saved as anybody else in that place. I'm just as free as anybody else. I'd made it to the King's table. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's an empty chair for somebody in this place this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. God's given somebody in this place an invitation. Why don't you come to the King's table? You don't have to stay where you are. If you're lost and you're in sin, you don't have to stay there. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will. Would you slip up from where you are right now, sinner friend? God loves you. God loves you in this place. You can be saved this morning by His grace. Would you come? Would you come and be saved? Would you come? Sister Judy, would y'all sing softly? Would you come? Don't wait too long. This is the greatest invitation that you will ever receive, to come and be saved. How about it, sinner friend? Don't you hear His voice saying, come? All right, I want everyone that would, let's come and find us a place to pray. Everyone that would. Sinner friend, why don't you just slip out in the crowd? Come right on, sinner friend. Tell